He wants me to rip the lips off of a chicken. Wow. Can you point out the chicken so I can know which one to rip the lips off? I had a young man at church that I'm supposed to preach at a certain place in the near future, and a young man was telling me, now when you come to preach, I want the folks you need to preach to are sitting right in this section. I'm like, okay. I should have asked him, do you sit in that section? Amen. I'm going to do something I don't normally do today. The message I plan to preach to you, I just never felt like, I just couldn't get any peace about it. So I changed my sermon about 15 minutes ago. So we'll see how this comes out. Amen. I've heard of Brother Sis for many years. I've never had the privilege to meet him. People speak so highly of you, and now I see why. Thank you for your words. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for not having finished your race. I appreciate that. It ain't over till it's over. Amen. I'll preach a very simple message to you today, and I hope you'll open your heart and mind and listen. First, let me just commend you. It's a joy to preach here at Hiles National College. I've been so impressed with the student body. You young people represent yourselves well, represent your mom and your dad and your families well. It's encouraging to come back here and see so many young people who are in school, whose parents I went to school with. And thank you, Brother. Brother Collins is not here, but the music is wonderful and the song leading and touched my heart. Amen. Familiar verse, Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Hopefully you know those verses, but you can look there if you like. We know this is the Great Commission. Let's pray. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for the life you gave us, the physical life you gave us. And then thank you for the second birth. And thank you for the privilege to serve the great I am. Thank you that we have the gospel. Appreciate this place and everyone in it. I pray that you would help me today to speak, challenge these students. Amen. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I got 3 points for you today. The first one is this. Don't ignore the command while waiting for an invitation or a calling. Brother Sis just spoke to that a few minutes ago. But we have a command. That is a calling. Amen. Please don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I do believe that God works sovereignly. I do believe that God can put his finger, so to speak, and touch hearts and direct. And I believe that God calls people to do things. But I believe we all have a command, and I believe that's all everyone's calling. We have a calling to get the gospel out to this world. And we cannot ignore that command while waiting for some special invitation or calling. We should not need a special invitation to be a part of the Great Commission. We should want to be a part of that. I'm assuming that many of you are here because you want to be a part of that, but I did go to Hiles National College, and I did teach here for many years. I spent 15 years of my life here, and I do understand that there are oftentimes folks who are here, and they don't want to be a part of that. They're here, but they're not here. Here in body, but not here in spirit, not here in mind, not here in focus, not here in heart. We should want to be a part of the Great Commission. Be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. Be a soul winner. Don't just be on a bus route. Don't just be a bus worker. Don't just be a Sunday school teacher. Don't just be a college student. Don't just be someone on deputation. Don't just be a preacher. Don't just be a pastor. Be a soul winner. The world needs soul winners. Give to missions. You don't need a special invitation from God to give to missions. I started giving to missions sitting right over there in what we used to call the Amen section. I think it was 1995. Dr. Doug Kalap, I believe Brother Larry Smith was teaching on giving to missions. And I started giving as a college student. I was in debt. I was very poor. I didn't have nice clothes. But I started giving to missions. And I've been able to increase that every year, right up until today. And next month in February, we'll have our missions emphasis month in our church in Ghana. And I'll increase my missions giving again. But it started here as a Hiles Anderson College student. It didn't start when I got into the ministry, so to speak. It didn't start when I got to the mission field. And you know, when we get involved with God's mission, get involved in missions personally, it's easy for God to direct us and get us where He wants us. But be a part of missions now. Be a soul winner. Give to missions. Don't make statements like, if God calls me, then I will go. Be willing to go. I didn't have a calling to Ghana. I walked down this aisle one day in a missions emphasis, and I told God I'd go anywhere He wanted me to go. My wife had done the same as a young child and again in college. It took a long, long time for us to actually get to Ghana. But I was willing to go wherever God wanted me to go. And you need to have that attitude. You need to want to be a part of the Great Commission. You need to want to be a part of getting the gospel to the far reaches of the world. Why don't we say, as He said a while ago, I'm going to be a missionary unless God stops me. I don't believe everybody can go. I really don't. I believe everybody can go door to door. I believe everybody can go soul-winning. I don't think everybody can go to the foreign field. If everybody here would go, we wouldn't need everyone to go. And leaders and elders in the church would have to sit and say, okay, who are we going to send? Who are we going to ask to stay? That'd be a great problem to have, wouldn't it? The church agreed with God and sent out Paul and Barnabas. Be willing to go. Get involved in the Great Commission. Be a soul winner. Give to missions. And have a heart that's willing to go. The second thing I want to say to you today is don't fear the unknown. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Folks, listen to me. The world is an amazing place. All of it. All of it. They've got trees in other countries just like you have here. Amen. They've got grass. They've got fruit. They've got the world. It's not any different than the one you live here, right here. And you don't need to fear the unknown. God has told us that He would go with us. Some of the greatest people you could ever meet in your life are on a foreign mission field. And people are open to the gospel. How many of you go soul winning on a weekly basis and you knock on doors and no one answers? You invite people to church and they don't respond. You ask people about hearing the gospel or having a Bible study and they have no interest. How many of you experience that on a weekly basis? Raise your hand. Yeah, that's life in America. It's not like that in Ghana. People are open to the gospel. You would have to work very hard to find someone who is not willing to listen to you and to listen to God's message from His Word. Even the Muslim people where we are willing to have a conversation with you about the truth, about the Bible, about the gospel, about God. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, to go out soul winning, to go places where people would just, sure, I'd like to talk with you. I go to a university to go soul winning. And it's filled with young men and young ladies. And I go to the men's dormitories. And there's no hindrance. We just walk in, say hello to the person working the desk, greet them, and we just start going door to door. You knock on a door, and they say, come in. You walk in the room, maybe one, two, three, four young men your age sitting in a room. And they say, oh, and they see me. They say, oh, and they get a chair. And they say, oh, have a seat. And we greet, we exchange names, and we have a Bible study. And you can do that all day long, going room for room. And they all listen. And most of them will get saved. Man, you ought to want to be a part of that. If you could do that, why would you want to stay here and keep beating on doors where no one's responding? We ought to have a call to do that, not a call to go where I am. There's an amazing life awaiting you somewhere on a foreign mission field. Don't miss it because you fear the unknown. I wouldn't trade my experience for anything. And let me tell you, for me to leave Ghana and come back to the U.S., it would take a voice of God. It would take the voice of God asking me to come back here. Because I'm a part of something that is fruitful. And that's a joy. And I have met some of the sweetest, most humble people that you could imagine meeting. I serve with some of the greatest Christians I've ever known. I serve with young men who have such a zeal to win the lost to Christ that they put me to shame. I serve with men that you have to, it's like you have to harness them and hold them back. They're just ready to go reach the world for Christ, and I know them, and I'm their pastor. And if you could go do that, don't miss out on that. Don't let fear keep you from experiencing that kind of life. I've preached to millions of people. My voice can be heard preaching the truth on almost the entire continent of Africa every Sunday morning. People have called from Libya, they've called from Cameroon, they've called from Cote d'Ivoire, they've called from Sierra Leone, Liberia, they've called from the Congo, they've called from Nigeria. Hey, we saw your program on TV. Would a man come? He was a military man in Ghana. He was stationed in the Congo. While he was there, he watched our program from Ghana. And he was from Kumasi. He came back and joined our church. I had a man a few months ago. I got home. It was lunchtime. I'd gone home. I'd locked my gate behind me, and a knock came at my door. I went to the hole in the gate, and I looked out, and the man was standing there, and he was begging me to talk to him. I opened my gate. He told me his name. He said, I'd just been released from prison. and I have nothing. He called my name. He knew my name. He shocked me. Told me about just being released from prison. They released him. He had nowhere to go. No way to get no money. Nowhere to get home. No way to get home. He lived in a different city. And he said, I've been watching your television program while I've been in prison. And I need help. He came looking for our church. He saw me pulling off our church property, driving my car, and he recognized me, and he tracked me down in my neighborhood and came to my gate. And I had the privilege to lead that man to Christ. You want to miss out on a life like that? Because you fear something you should not be fearing? Don't do it. Don't miss out on what God has for you. I thought of these 3 points that I'm going to give you today. I gave these 3 points very briefly for a youth conference last year. And when I thought of these points, I made a little short video for youth conference. I was standing on the top of the second floor of our educational building in Ghana, and our church is surrounded by homes, just as far as you can see, just residential homes everywhere, people everywhere, thousands and thousands of people. And I stood and I said, behind me in every house is somebody who wants to hear the gospel. And that's a true statement. You will not go to a house in Ghana that there's not somebody who wants to hear the gospel. You ought to want to be a part of that. And don't let fear keep you from going. Take a mission trip. Get to the foreign field and let your eyes affect your heart and experience some of what's going on in other places in the world. Get a vision for what God might could use you to do. But don't let fear keep you from a wonderful life. Because I'm going to tell you, I feel like I'm the privileged one. People think we make some great sacrifice. And look, if you're not making sacrifices, you're not living the Christian life. You don't have to go to the foreign field to make sacrifices. If you're not sacrificing, you're not a Christian. Okay, you may be saved, but you're not a Christian. But living where I live, doing what I do, wow, man, I don't even remotely relate that to sacrifice. It is a joy. It is a blessing. It is fun. Some of you need to be a part of that. And all of you need to consider that. Number one, don't ignore the command while you're waiting on a special calling. Number two, don't fear the unknown. Number three, don't underestimate your abilities and how much you are needed. Some of you, you make the mistake of underestimating yourself. Let me tell you something. You are somebody. In life, we tend to do one of two things. We tend to lift ourselves up in pride, or we tend to deflate ourselves into a place where we don't see our value and worth. Neither one of those are good. Everybody in this room is a somebody. Everybody in this room is someone that God can use. Everybody is in here is somebody that God wants to use. God can use you to do great things for Him. You can make a difference. Don't ever make the mistake of seeing someone like Brother Bushy or Brother Sisk or Brother Palmer or myself or faculty and staff and start comparing yourself and saying, well, I can't be that person. Well, yeah, you're right. You can never be me. There's only one of me. And there's only one of you. And God's not asking you to be me. I feel like sometimes when we were in Bible college, we felt like we all had to be like Brother Howes. I don't think Brother Howes was trying to get that message across to us, but sometimes we felt like if we can't pastor a church running so many thousand people, that then we don't have a place. Yeah, you have a place for you. And you are specially gifted by God and made by God, and you're unique, and God wants to use you. It may not be in Ghana, it may be in Japan. But I probably wouldn't be very effective in Japan. I'm very effective in Ghana. Don't compare yourself, chop yourself down, but realize in Jesus Christ you are somebody. God wants to use you to make a difference. And God can use you to make a big difference somewhere on a foreign mission field or in America working in missions here. Every ability you have can be used on the mission field. We need teachers, we need accountants, we need plumbers, we need electricians, carpenters. Look, any skill you've got, you can put it to work on a mission field. I get to do everything where I'm at. Everything. Don't underestimate how God can use you. Don't miss out on the opportunity. God is looking for someone to go, and God is looking for you. I want to say this. God can use you no matter who you are and what your past is. I got saved in 1991. I was 20 years old. I was almost 21. And I was a student at Virginia Tech. And I was aimless. I spent most of my day shooting pool in the billiards room. I skipped class. I drank. I was drunk every week of my life. I had no ambition. I had no goal. I was about to flunk out of college. And I came to the realization that something's got to change. I took a semester off from school. I was working in the dining hall. And a young man named Dean Lucas. He had recently married a girl who attended Howells Anderson College for 1 year. And through her, he had been saved. He invited me to church. He kept inviting me, and he seemed so happy to be saved, so happy to be a Christian, and so happy about his church. And my life was going nowhere. I said, "So, y'all come," and I went and visited that church. I'll never forget what I looked like when I walked in. I had gold necklace on. I had hair down to my back of my neck. I had cowboy boots on. And thought I was something else. A week later, two people came by my house and gave me the gospel, Stanley Smith, Shake Smith, and Doug Testament. Gave me the gospel, led me to Christ. Eventually, I got into church faithfully, and God began to change my life as I read the Bible. Took the liquor from me. Took my friends from me. I began to win souls for Christ. Started winning souls in 1992. I didn't know what I was doing. No one trained me. I just wanted to be a part of the truth, what God had given me. 1993, I got a pamphlet from that Brother Jerry Falwell had produced about soul winning, and I studied it. And I got a little booklet of verses, and I memorized verses, and I started going soul winning. I started winning people to Christ. I think I won 50 people to Christ in 1993. I still got a paper with all their names on it. Took a bus route, started working a bus route. But I still didn't think God could use me to do anything like this. My attitude was, you know, maybe if I'm faithful, maybe I keep going to church, maybe one day I could be a deacon, or maybe I could be an usher or something like that. I remember when the pastor got up one Sunday and he said, we need someone to drive a van on Sunday. And I thought, well, I can do that. And I raised my hand. I started driving a van. And, well, I thought I was going to start driving a van. I actually became the bus captain on the first Saturday out there. Someone took me to the bus route and said, okay, here you go. You're the captain. You're everything. I still didn't think I could serve God like I'm doing right now. I never thought God could use me to do what I'm doing. I thought I had gone too far into sin, and there's no way God could ever use me. But I couldn't get away from the Spirit of God. I worked on a farm. I preached to the sheep. I preached to everything, whether it was moving or not moving. I won my co-workers to Christ. There were some people in that church who believed in me, had a vision for me, how God could use me. They told me about how I was answering college. And I came to this place. I didn't know any bus songs. I didn't know all the things that many of you know. But look what God has done with my life. God's got something for you. You don't have to be anybody else. You just got to be yielded, willing to let God do what God wants to do in your heart and life. Surrender to God. And that ought to include a willingness go to the field, the foreign field, because folks, that's where the people are wanting to get saved. Will you consider it? Don't wait for a call, obey His command. Don't fear the unknown, and realize God can use you. You can make a difference. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ that made a difference in my life and the lives of so many. Thank you for every student here today. God, it's my prayer that your will would be done in their lives. God, help us to fulfill your commission.